Good morning, church. Lovely Wednesday morning. Today we enter the third meditation on Paul's final chapter of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Today Paul's words get very close to the bone. We are really deeply challenged about relating to people who do not live up to the Christian standard of life. So let's read the text. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 10 to 13. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command, this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. As for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Now, Paul recognized the fact that some people could not work, perhaps because of physical handicaps or family responsibilities. And this is why he phrased the statement as he did. If a man refuses to work, neither let him eat. It's not a question of ability, but willingness. It is the refusal to work that is highlighted by Paul. We need to just understand that. When a believer cannot work and is in need, it is the privilege and the duty of the church to help him or her. This also has nothing to do with the unfortunate persons who, through no fault of their own, cannot find employment. We know that the unemployment statistic in South Africa is standing at plus or minus 34%. Now, most of these are the younger people, 35 and under, who really need to start making a future in their lives. And one cannot actually understand their frustration unless you are one of them. It must be a real challenge to try to stay positive in the hope of getting employment when over 20 million others are also looking for employment. Unfortunately, we also have an outlook for many young job seekers that to start at the bottom of the ladder is unacceptable. They want to start near the top. They want to be white-collar workers, driving great cars, earning great salaries. I remember my apprenticeship as a millwright at Eskor Pretoria, and this goes back many, many years. I earned 3 rand a week. 1 rand went towards paying off my toolbox. So I had 2 rand to live on, which meant I earned 12 rand a month. So my monthly income in today's value was about 102 rand. Once I qualified, I jumped to earning 50 rand a week. That's from 3 to 50. And that gave me about 400 rand per month. In today's value, that equated to about 1,700 per month. Now, I must tell you, to move from 102 to 1,700 a month took 4.5 years. I had to pass a trade test. Coming back to the subject that Paul's addressing, I want us to think just for a moment of Jesus and work. We have the example of Jesus himself. Work was a daily requirement for Jesus until he started his ministry at 33 years of age. And then he also worked in ministry. But he was a carpenter of Nazareth. And legend has it that he made the best ox yokes in all Palestine and that people came from all over the country to buy them. Well, you know the saying, a tree is known by its fruit and a man is known by his work. Now, Paul addresses the situation. with these words. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Paul disliked the busybody intensely. There may be greater sins than gossip, but there's none which does more damage in the church. A man who is doing his own work with his whole strength will have enough to do without being maliciously interested in the affairs of others. So when Paul wrote his first letter to the Thessalonian church, he warned the idle busybodies to get to work. Now he's addressing the same issue, as apparently these troublemakers did not repent. Therefore, Paul devoted the rest of his second letter to this problem. It was mentioned yesterday that when problems are not solved, they normally grow and become worse. Church problems, if left unsolved, grow and become worse, and they infect more people. The local church is a body, and what germs are to the physical body, sin is to the spiritual body. Now, what was the problem in Thessalonica? Well, some members of the assembly had misinterpreted Paul's teaching about the return of Christ. They left their jobs and were living off the generosity of the church. They were idle while others were working, yet they expected the church to support them. Over my years in ministry, I've encountered many individuals like that. They were also spreading gossip about people in the church. They had time on their hands and gossip on their lips, but they defended themselves by arguing, "The Lord is coming soon." Well, Paul didn't mince his words. In 2 Thessalonians 3:12, he says, "Such people we command and urge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat." Now, Paul expected the whole church to work together in solving this problem. The church in love must deal with its own members and seek to help each one obey God. So Paul commands that those who disregarded his instructions must be dealt with by the community. But they were to be dealt with not as enemies, but as brothers. When Christian discipline is necessary, it is to be given in Christian love. Now, Paul used this powerful word command in his first Thessalonian letter and uses it again in this second letter. And the word means a military order handed down from a superior officer. Paul considered the church to be like an army. And if the army does not obey the orders, there can be no order. No discipline. Unfortunately, some of the Thessalonian saints were out of rank, unruly, and disorderly. Now, what authority did Paul have to issue this command to the idle folk? Well, he had the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Note those words, the Lord Jesus Christ. At least 20 times in the Thessalonian letters, Paul used this complete title of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, the word Lord means Jehovah God and speaks of his divinity. Jesus means Savior and is his human name. Christ is his divine title. It means Messiah, the Anointed One. So Paul as a leader knew well that he was simply the spokesman of the true head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom lies all authority. Well, I trust we've learned something about getting on with doing what God has called us to do and avoiding idleness. May this day be a great, hardworking day for you.